Case number 18-5220, Chris Hartman et al. V. Jeremy Thompson et al. Or arguments not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Michael Goodwin for the appellants.
I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please.
Fine.
May it please the court. My name is Michael Goodwin. I represent the appellants in this case. One of the state troopers that made the arrests and moved the speakers outside of the ham breakfast at the Kentucky State Fair, tells us that the Kentucky State Fair Country Ham Breakfast is a political event as much as it's a ham auction. It's filled with politicians, with political signs and speeches, both inside the south wing of the Fairgrounds Convention Center and outside in the parking lot where numerous people come in and enter the convention center for the ham breakfast. I represent three individuals who were all, had been there in years past, had protested against an insurance company's policies that they find discriminatory, had complied with law enforcement's orders when asked, and had never been in any type of trouble for this incident. But this year in 2015, for the first time, they were singled out, and only that group of individuals wearing a distinctive orange t-shirt with the language on the front t-shirt, which they were protesting.
What was the language on the t-shirt?
It was, I don't recall the exact language of it, Your Honor, but it was essentially that Kentucky Farm Bureau discriminates against anti-gay, anti-union, anti-teacher, this types of things. And it also, and in the information that they handed out, they had a list of positions taken from Kentucky Farm Bureau's handbook that it used for lobbying purposes with the Kentucky General Assembly, and pointed out which of those particular policies these advocacy groups believed were anti-LGBT, anti-union, anti-teacher, that type of thing. So that's the gist of what was on it. But it was a bright neon orange. It was certainly designed to convey that message and get that message out in a bright manner.
Was there any message that your clients were intending to convey that was not encapsulated by the message on the t-shirts?
Well, I think that they wanted to do a couple of things. One was to wear the t-shirt, where they thought that drew attention to the message. The second was they had some information, some leaflets that they held out. Thirdly, they had some signs, which again, it conveyed the same material, but it was a larger sign, other signs, similar to what other groups were using, leaflets, political signs, those things outside of the entrance to the convention center. And those individuals were allowed to hold those items right in front of the convention center so that everyone that comes in on the sidewalk there that is walking into this breakfast is able to see their message, vote for candidate A, or some of the messages were even commercial, you know, buy this or promoting a certain product, that type of thing. And all those individuals were allowed to stay at the there on the sidewalk and in the road right in front of the entrance to the breakfast event. However, these individuals in the orange t-shirts were moved all the way to what they called a designated protest area. Further away, it was across an access road, so some individuals could enter and never even see this speech that was in the designated area.
But some of your protest group did go into the breakfast wearing the t-shirt. Correct?
Absolutely. They were all moved to the designated area, and then when the breakfast began, the individuals that had tickets went into the breakfast, and inside they were arrested. And so really there's...
Were any of your clients turned away at the door with a ticket wearing the t-shirt?
No, Your Honor. No, Your Honor.
And did any of your clients bring pamphlets or the things that you're talking about they were passing out into the breakfast?
I don't know. I don't think that's established in the record before the court, and I'm not sure the answer whether they brought their signs. I don't think they had any signs that were certainly at the table that were blocking any view or anything. And
the
also,
t-shirts. Do you contend the t-shirts were the cause of any arrest of your clients?
I think it was one of the causes. I think that they were arrested because of the content of their speech, because they made the individuals within that breakfast uncomfortable.
And I think they did that. Period of time they were in the breakfast wearing the t-shirts, that they were not arrested. The arrest occurred when they actually stood up at the table, correct?
Correct. Their intent was to stand quietly at the table in the very back of the room for 1 minute. And they stood up for 2 or 3 seconds, and Mr. Hartman, the first of the group to be arrested, police officers walked up and immediately arrested him without asking him to leave, without asking him to sit down or anything else. So I think there are two main claims that I think this court should reverse the grant of summary judgment in the court below. And the first is the free speech violation in singling out this particular group of people based on the content of their speech, based on the viewpoint that they're conveying, their message, and moving them into a particular designated area and not moving any other speakers or any other speech to that area.
The defense on the other side is that they were moved because they had announced in advance that they were going to protest, and that nobody else had announced in advance that they were going to protest. How do you deal with that argument?
Okay. Well, I think there's two grounds. The first and the most obvious is that Lieutenant Thompson tells us that the reason that he was moved, at first he says the reason they were moved is because they had indicated to us that they were going to conduct a protest. That's not actually true. What played out in the depositions and the facts most favorable light for the plaintiffs was that they had sent out a press release indicating that they were going to protest. But regardless of that, he says, so they were moved because they were protesters. And so we dug deeper and asked Lieutenant Thompson, what is a protester? And he said a protester, as he was enforcing it that day, is an individual who expresses an opinion contrary to what was going on inside of the ham breakfast. So it is contrary, I guess, to the primary named corporate sponsor of the ham breakfast. The ham breakfast is a state-sponsored event. It's part of the Kentucky Fair, run by the Kentucky Fair Board, a state agency. But apparently because they expressed an opinion that was contrary to that individual. And that is exactly what the First Amendment says law enforcement cannot do, which is discriminate based on the content.
So does the record indicate whether people with certain political views are attending the ham breakfast, or are all of the candidates, for instance, for office, whether regardless of what their political party is, attending the ham breakfast?
I think the record supports that the ham breakfast, both inside and out, is full of political speakers, and I think from both major parties, from other areas, people with more nuanced views.
People wear T-shirts saying, you know, I'm in favor of candidate A from the X party, and somebody else saying I'm in favor of candidate B from the Y party?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that there's evidence that there were, they not only wear T-shirts, but they hand out leaflets just like...
Within the breakfast? Or is it outside the breakfast that they're doing that?
Yes, I think the individuals that are outside the breakfast enter the breakfast. I don't think that there is leafleting within the breakfast. There may be some, I think, politicking and political speech going on, certainly, both from the dais by political speakers who give speeches and say, here's what we've done, here's how it affects farmers, or whatever else issues that they want to address from both parties. It's usually dignitaries from all types of elected officials and also corporate sponsors and things like that. And
so my understanding was that this breakfast is sponsored by an insurance company. Am I wrong on that? The Kentucky Farm Bureau is an insurance company?
It is, Your Honor. So they are the named corporate sponsor, and the sponsorship agreement, which is in the record, says that this is an event run by the Kentucky State Fair Board, which is a state agency or board on state government property, the fairgrounds there, and the named essentially advertising sponsor, exclusive advertising sponsor, is the Kentucky Farm Bureau. So although the
which is a private entity, the
correct,
insurance company.
Correct. So the appellee's attempt to say, well, it was a private event, it wasn't. It was a public event, a ticketed public event, much like if we had a basketball game occurs at the Kentucky State Fairgrounds and there's a ticketed event, so you have a license to attend. Certainly you can be removed if you violate the law, or even if you just do something that they say is is disruptive such that they ask you to leave. If you don't leave, then...
So the one question, and you know, there are many claims in this case and many issues, but one is, was there probable cause to arrest the three individuals?
Correct.
And my understanding of the Supreme Court case, Devon Peck, is that you don't need to have the officers knowing what the proper crime is to arrest someone, as long as there is a crime that for which the officer would have probable cause to arrest. Is that correct?
I think it's correct. I think it is. I think the officers still have to have knowledge of the events that lead to probable cause, because the probable cause analysis requires the officers to know at the time of the arrest the basis for the probable cause.
What was the basis, or is there any basis for there being probable cause to arrest your clients?
Okay. So we suggest that there absolutely was not any probable cause for any arrest. And they were charged with disorderly conduct and with failure to disperse. The court below found, at least one individual was charged with disorderly conduct. The court below found there was no probable cause for disorderly conduct, and that there was no probable cause, at least for two of the three, to arrest for failure to disperse. So of all the charges, there may have been one individual whose the testimony was, she was asked to leave, and she said, I am leaving, I'm waiting on my friends, and the court said that was probable cause, that she was could be arrested for failure to disperse. But the other ones, there was no probable cause for the actual charges that they were charged. And the prosecutors in the case, on the eve of trial, agreed and said, we have a duty to dismiss these cases, and issued a statement to the effect to the court. But the charge that the court below found there was probable cause is disrupting a public meeting in the second degree. And in that, I think if the court looks at that charge, first of all, I think there are definitely constitutional issues with that. But secondly, there has to be, they have to create a distraction. And the commentary to that statute says that they have to do it such that it essentially rises to the level of disorderly conduct or some other crime, which clearly was not here. Here they stood quietly, silently at their seats, and although they intended to stand for 1 minute, they only stood for 2 to 3 seconds before they were arrested. So we argue that there's no probable cause on that claim. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Charles Hazelwood. I'm representing Lieutenant Jeremy Thompson, Jason Drain, and Brian Hill. Probably several different ways to approach what was just said. Maybe I'll start out by talking about the geography of the fairground. Seems like a distinction is being made about the area outside the venue and the area inside the venue itself. And I don't know if anyone here has actually been at the Kentucky State Fairground there in Louisville, but if you imagine Freedom Hall, where you've probably watched University of Louisville play basketball in the past, and then buildings that come off on each side, which would be the exhibition buildings, where the fair would be happening inside of those buildings as well. You literally imagine a huge complex, but it's not big enough. As big as it is, it's not big enough. The fair literally spills out of those buildings onto the grounds immediately in front of it. As a consequence, in front of the buildings, you will have vendors who set up booths and tents, and you have people that I think in the course and scope of that 11-day event, there may be over 500,000 people that show up. They're milling about among those booths and tents, doing whatever they want to do there at the fair that complements what's going on.
In order to get into this larger area, do they have to go through some kind of barriers, and do they have to present tickets, or is it open to the public just to walk through?
So once you come off the interstate, come off the ramp, you will come to an entrance. It's obvious that it is an entrance, and it is set up with a gate that you would pass through. You pull up to the gate, there's a window, somebody there at the window, and you would pay money to get a ticket.
So you have to pay money in order to get into the fairgrounds?
Yes, ma'am. That's correct. Now, once you move through the gate, the South Wing Exhibition Center would be to the right, and you would drive in that direction, and there would be a place designated because they repurposed in this area that had already been repurposed. They had already repurposed it for the fair. The State Fair Board had the right to do that. So they had repurposed it for the vendors who'd set up their booths and their tents. But in this area that had already been repurposed, they repurposed it again. And they designated a spot for the individuals to set up and protest. So now
when
we come...
You say protest.
Yes.
What do you mean? For people to say that they're against something? Or because you've got all these vendors and these people with leaflets who are presumably expressing viewpoints. So what's the difference between a designated protest area and all this other area where everybody's milling about with their own views?
I think it goes to the press release that was released the day before. Lieutenant Jeremy Thompson received a telephone call from the state board leadership. There's a protest has been announced by a group of individuals. Since a permit was not prepared to correspond with the announced protest, I'm not quite sure what they knew about it. I hate to speculate one way or the other. All they knew is that the press release apparently contained objections to the Kentucky Farm Bureau and announced that on the following day there would be a protest there at the venue.
So what if somebody had been saying, holding up signs, "We love the Kentucky Farm Bureau"? Would they have to go to the protest area?
It's my understanding that under the regulations on point, if a protest is announced, a permit is required because the announced protest is going to bring people with it. So you're going to have a group versus an individual.
My hypo is that they're not protesting. They love the Kentucky Farm Bureau.
Right.
So they wouldn't have to go to the protest area. Is that right?
It's my understanding that if they have not announced a protest, no.
So there are two parts to your answer then, announced and protest.
That's my understanding.
If you haven't announced, you can protest right at the entrance. So the fatal flaw for the plaintiffs was that they had this press release the day before. If they hadn't done it, if they had just talked among themselves and said, "Let's all go," they could have had their exact same activity, but without the prior announcement, in the area they want to be in.
I think subsequent behavior would verify that, because I don't think there have been any subsequent press releases corresponding with individuals that show up at the venue.
And so you've never used the protest area again?
It's my understanding that to the extent that a protest is announced, individuals that show up in the context of an announced protest are put in that spot that was designated.
Mm-hmm. And if you announce simply, "Friends, please come and show your support for the Kentucky Farm Bureau," and you announce that in advance, that isn't a protest. So you wouldn't have to be in the protest area, is that right? Hypothetically.
"Please come and show your support for the Kentucky Farm Bureau."
Right.
I'm not quite sure how the Fair Leadership Board would respond to that, because they are ultimately making the decision about the permit. It's my understanding that the Kentucky State Police, through the individuals that would be working security, aren't making a decision about that.
What do you need a permit for?
The permit under the regulation is required 2 weeks to 72 hours in advance. So to the extent that
But it's a permit to do what?
To protest. Whatever you want to protest there at the fair.
This regulation uses the word protest?
I don't have it in front of me. So please forgive me. If to the extent that I am butchering it, I apologize for that.
In the record?
I think it is. I think it's identified in our brief. I think I have identified in the brief the regulation that requires the application for the permit.
Do you reprint the wording of it in your brief?
I do not think I do, sir. No.
So as you can see, my concern is, if you're using the word protest, And if protest means you're against something, then the inference is that if you're for something, you don't have to comply with this regulation. And that sounds like it's content-based. So that's why the, you know, if you're in favor of the sponsor, the Kentucky Farm Bureau, which is a private insurance company, or if you're in favor of the policies of that company, then it sounds like you're not protesting. And so you're treating this group of people differently because they are against the policies of the Farm Bureau, which, and Farm Bureau is a private entity, which is another feature there.
Again, if you go back to the facts of this particular case, that's not the only thing that's happening in the South Wing Exhibition Center. The Kentucky Farm Bureau has leased space, and they're privately exercising control over it. But inside that exhibition center, there's much more going on. So individuals might show up to protest more than just the Kentucky Farm Bureau. They may show up to protest politicians that are showing up to go inside the Kentucky Farm Bureau, or they may show up to protest something that's going on in conjunction with something else inside.
But as long as it's positive, as long as they're saying, yay, we're in favor of candidate A,
that doesn't
sound like a protest.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. Again, I represent Kentucky State Police.
A protest
officers.
Is in the eye of the beholder here. I mean, isn't the regulation to regulate groups of people that are expressing activities? I mean, where are you getting this word protest? I mean, isn't this just a regulation of individuals?
I think that's correct.
Who are coming together?
I think that's
to express some viewpoint?
Yes, sir.
As opposed to an individual doing it?
That's correct. It is a regulation of the group of people who would show up to do whatever they're going to do there in that particular area. If you announce that you're going to show up to do whatever you want to do, that particular group that shows up will be restricted to that area.
What happens if the same group doesn't announce and just shows up?
What may very well be the case that, again, if the officers are exercising discretion in the moment, they may decide to exercise discretion in conjunction with their law enforcement duties. Just because you're trying to get individuals in and out of this building, you've got people walking, you've got tents and booths set up, so they're not just dealing with individuals that show up in order to support or not support something. They're dealing with all this other.
A whole group that are showing up at the same time, but they haven't announced previously they're protesting. What happens to them? Can they just march up and down the street?
There may very well be authority under the regulation on point, the one that I'm referring to, for the officers to take action because that group is in violation of a regulation that required them to apply for a permit that they didn't never applied for. And I think that's another way.
The protest zone protects a group who's wanting to express a group opinion. They know if they express the opinion in that area, they will not be subject to any potential disorderly conduct.
That's correct.
Conduct.
It also protects the individuals who are in the area doing whatever they're doing in conjunction with the state fair, individuals who are coming to the area to get into the building. But it is another way for the fairgrounds to make sure that everything that's happening in this congested area is happening in an orderly fashion so that the chaos doesn't become.
But individuals can mill about and cause chaos.
If you're milling about and causing chaos and we are there providing security, there is a disorderly conduct statute. There are statutes under which those individuals can be arrested and dealt with appropriately in conjunction with the discretionary authority to deal with that chaos.
Let me ask you the location of where this no protest zone was. Was it in a location where everyone who went into the breakfast could see
Yes. What
was going on and what the message was from that
yes.
area?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Was there any other entrance to the ham breakfast that a person could go through to avoid the no protest zone?
It's my understanding that was the entrance. There may be indirect ways to get into that building. I there's some buildings over here and some buildings over here, and indirectly you might be able to pass through, but that was the main entrance, and they were standing right there in it as a group, and that spot had been designated for them to stand in an orderly fashion. And I will also say the state leadership board decided to accept as if they had applied for a permit, even though they did not apply for a permit.
And let me ask you about the arrest. What was the basis for the arrest? Why did the officers, what do they contend why they arrested these individuals?
I think the citations, the citation itself had disorderly conduct identified as well as a failure to disperse identified. Failure to disperse was the main charge offense for each person, Hartman, DeVries, and Wallace.
So one of the problems is that failure to disperse under the Kentucky provision 525.160 requires that the person intentionally refuse to disperse when ordered to do so by a police officer. So for two of these plaintiffs, they were arrested before they were ordered to disperse, correct?
That's an issue of disputed fact. In this particular case, the dispute is that they were told to disperse and they did not. They claim that they were never told that.
Okay, so that being a disputed fact, that seems fairly significant.
It is, and that
would suggest that the district court erred in granting summary judgment.
No, ma'am, because under Devin Peck, the district court talked about the objective facts that were available to the arresting officers at the time of arrest. And based on the facts that were available to them, they had probable cause to arrest for any relevant offense.
What were the objective facts?
In this particular case, you had individuals who were using breakfast tickets to disrupt a privately sponsored event. They were allowed.
The disruption was to stand up.
The disruption was a number of factors considered in that fluid environment. The year before, they had shown up and they had stood in a line with yellow t-shirts on. And when individuals stood up at the DOS to talk, they advanced on it and stood there in front of it while everybody was watching it. An area about.
Were they arrested the year before?
It's my understanding they were not. It's my understanding that they were removed.
So they did lesser conduct this year by standing in the back.
This particular.
They were arrested, but the previous year they were not arrested. For worse conduct, arguably.
If I may add
yes.
to what you say. Prior to going into the breakfast venue, Lieutenant Thompson was told by Hartman, we're going to ramp things up. So when they stood up, the officers who were evaluating what was going on in front of them did not know what ramp up was getting ready to look like. So in order to prevent it being ramped up and going beyond what happened last year, where they merely went forward and stood in front of the DOS where people were talking, the officers moved toward the individuals who were standing and asked them to sit down. That's an issue of disputed fact. But what is not disputed is that Hartman said he was going to ramp up. They were going to ramp things up. It's undisputed that they stood up with their bright orange t-shirts on. So they were using their breakfast tickets to disrupt Wittgensteinian speech acts. It's not audible noise. It's visual noise. So it is causing a disruption.
Does it matter that they were seated at the rear of the breakfast?
I think what matters is that Lieutenant Thompson had been put on notice beforehand. We're going to ramp things up.
Suppose they stood up and were going to leave. You know, a lot of times people in an audience are objecting to the speaker and they show their objection by standing up and leaving. Would that be disruption under the Kentucky law?
Under the reasonably objective standard, police officers can't read minds. And all they have are the things that are going on in front of them.
So they could arrest somebody who was sitting in the back of a big auditorium who got up and was wearing an offensive to the sponsor t-shirt.
Under the totality of the circumstances, if that individual had told the lieutenant beforehand that he intended to ramp things up and he stood up, And the officer saw enough in front of him in order to have probable cause to arrest, I think it would be appropriate. But to answer that in the hypothetical vacuum of just that one particular thing, he was wearing a shirt, I think an officer would need more in order to exercise discretion under the statute. Here, he was exercising discretion in the totality of the circumstances. What he knew had happened last year, because he was there. The individual had said, I'm going to ramp things up. They stood up with their bright orange T-shirts on. He didn't know if they were getting ready to advance on the dais. Were people talking? And so in the totality of the circumstances, he exercised discretion. So now we come to qualified immunity and asked the individuals to disperse. They say that he didn't. But the district judge rightly pointed out that there was another relevant statute on point. They were disrupting the meeting. In the totality of the circumstances, they were. They had used their tickets to get into it. They were creating an unjustified distraction, not just with the T-shirts, but the officers knew that they might ramp things up and do something more than they had done last year. The protest was competing with and out of order for that particular program, especially if they had ran forward to jump in front of the DOS. The officers didn't know what they were going to do. They were offending the sensibilities of people who had come for a charitable event, not a protest, especially if you consider that the protest might take the form of, at any moment, 24 people moving forward.
But then again, you say offending the sensibilities of the people. So if they had worn T-shirts saying, yay, Kentucky Farm Bureau, and stood up,
again,
then they wouldn't be arrested.
I think it's appropriate to answer your question by saying you need to know more than just that. It has to be looked at in the totality of the circumstances. And that fact isolated, what you're saying, isolating what you're saying from everything else is not enough. But if you take...
So if there had been, to fill out the hypo, if there had been a statement, we're going to ramp up our support for the Kentucky Farm Bureau, and they stood up with T-shirts that said, yay, Kentucky Farm Bureau. But they all stood up at the same time in these three tables in the back.
I think there would be a reasonably objective basis to the extent...
To arrest them?
...that they begin to interfere with and cause a disruption to the sensibilities of individuals have shown. Yes, there would be justified reason to take care of those individuals. Because, again, under a couple different cases that I identify in the brief, the Kentucky Farm Bureau had the right... to contract, or the State Fair Board had the right to contract with the Kentucky Farm Bureau for that private venue. And so when Kentucky Farm Bureau exercised control over the venue that had been ceded to them...
Did they sell tickets to the members of the public?
Yes.
And so people who were in favor of one political party could be there, and people who were in favor of another political party could be there.
That is correct.
And people who... didn't believe in the values that the Kentucky Farm Bureau espouses,
if you
could buy
tickets. If you bought a ticket,
you could be
you
there.
You walked in. They walked in.
Right. So I know
they walked in with their protest signs on. They were wearing their protest sign right here.
These particular people or
yes.
Other people.
And there were other individuals, I'm quite sure. I mean, I'm a sworn trooper myself, so I have not worked this particular venue.
And we have to look at what's in the record.
Correct.
So I have taken you way beyond your red light.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So unless any of the other judges have questions, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to correct one thing in the record. Kentucky Farm Bureau did not lease this property for the event. The agreement is in the record in the court below, and it was simply the agreement is a sponsorship agreement. It says Kentucky Fair Board agrees they will have this breakfast and run it up to the standards of the year before, et cetera, and Kentucky Farm Bureau pays money exclusively to be the named sponsor. So it's a sponsorship and not any type of lease where it's a private event or anything like that. Secondly, when
not a private event, how can they sell tickets?
Well, I think it would be similar to where a ticket's a license to attend a basketball game at Freedom Hall there. And certainly if...
But you would think the basketball team had leased the arena or something in order to sell tickets, wouldn't you?
Yes, but perhaps, but it's still state property, and on top of that... if Oscar Mayer Wieners is the sponsor for University of Louisville basketball, they don't have any type of a possessory interest in the arena there. And certainly law, and the trick here is not...
But it's, when there's not a game and Oscar Mayer says we want to use the arena to promote our hot dogs, wouldn't they have to have some permission that that's their arena to use it? It wouldn't mean that everybody in the public can walk in unless they had a ticket.
I'm sure they could rent the facility, but that's not what the record below establishes, that they were just paying to be the named sponsor in the event here. But more importantly, regardless of what type of forum it is, if it's a traditional public forum or a limited public forum, the regulation of the speech still has to be content neutral. And the regulation of the speech here is not the regulation that Your Honor identified or the ordinance there that was not at play in this particular case. Everyone agrees, and the Fair Board agreed, that they were not going to use that regulation against these speakers or anyone else there at the fairgrounds that day. Instead, the constitutional violation, the unpermissible state regulation, is when the officers used basically the First Amendment is in the eye of the beholder and said, we're going to enforce this against these speakers based on the content of their speech only, because in the officer's purview, they believed that the speakers were, their message was contrary to what was going on inside the breakfast. So if the University of Louisville is playing the basketball arena, you can't segregate UK fans in a designated area.
Can I ask you a question? What do we make of the troopers saying all we were doing is enforcing the regulations of the park, the state fair people, commission. Is that true or not?
I don't think they said they were enforcing the regulation. I think the troopers testified that they had to make the decision at the time, kind of as Your Honor identified as in the eye of the beholder.
Whether or not the rules and regulations have been violated. That's the decision they had to make, right?
Well, I think that's that they have to determine whether there's probable cause if they're going to arrest the individuals. I don't think they provided any such, there was no probable cause that they'd done anything wrong that necessitated the move to the designated area outside. That's just a separate claim. But inside, the only thing that the court below really found, for at least for two of the three, was this disrupting a public meeting. And even there, it has to be far more than just stating a contrary view at a meeting. It has to be something that disrupted. They didn't disrupt. They didn't throw eggs at the speaker or scream and disrupt or barge up to the front or cause a commotion.
Do the police have to wait until somebody actually barges up to the front, or can they make a educated determination that they're going to barge up to the front?
So can they make a preemptive arrest for
right,
before a violation of the law occurs? No, with a misdemeanor, I think they have to have the violation occur in their presence. However, certainly they have a remedy here that they could have used. If they were so offended with these speakers that the Fair Board or whomever was running that breakfast said, we just don't want these individuals at our breakfast, and it's a ticketed event, we want to revoke their license and ask them to leave. They could have gone to the back and said, we're asking you to leave. And if those individuals had assaulted the officers or caused a ruckus or refused to leave, it could have been a trespass perhaps.
So at least the lady who was arrested, that was done properly.
I don't think she refused to leave. Her statement was, I'm leaving, I'm waiting for my friend who was preparing to leave, who was also getting her stuff together. I think some of them were in wheelchairs and things like that. So they were asking for those individuals to get ready to leave, and she said, I'm waiting on them. And within 1 or 2 seconds, she was arrested. So I don't know that is necessarily a trespass.
So
I think there has to be.
Could there have been a proper refusal to sell tickets to people who were wearing these orange T-shirts that had statements against Farm Bureau policies on them?
You may be asking me for a question beyond what I've prepared,
it's
but I think
hypo.
That they could.
It's just a hypo.
I think they could. I think that perhaps they could say, we're not going to sell tickets for this reason or for that reason, as long as it's not for a discriminatory reason. And speech may be a discriminatory reason that wouldn't be grounds to discriminate. For example, a dress code, that is the issue that comes up often, and there may be a government property where can the government agency impose a dress code on the individuals that enter? Perhaps they can, but that simply wasn't the case here. They had the license, they let them enter, they were there, they just stood quietly.
Thank you. Your red light is on too. Thanks so much for both of you and your argument. The case will be submitted, and would the clerk call the next case, please?